Have you ever thought or even heard yourself say out loud, Lord, help me? It's part of the child of God experience. And there's times I think when we get to that place, we may not realize what that moment means. And we may mistake it. I know there have been times when I realize that I need help. And I ask the Lord for help. And Brother Michael, I feel like it's that prayer comes from a place of great weakness. But what I would want to share with you this morning is it's a very important part of the Christian experience to realize that you need help and to ask for the Lord to help you. There are times that we know that we need help, and there's times that we acknowledge that we need help. There is never a time that we don't need help, right? So what that means is we are a person, you are a person, I'm a person, that by our very design, we need help. And there will be times, Brother Duell, that we acknowledge that, and there'll be times that we don't. To acknowledge it is not a moment of weakness, but actually a moment of strength, right? It's an internal strength that may manifest itself when you feel a weakness in your ability to cope or control the things around you. But I want to consider that with you this morning and pray that the Lord will be with us in that effort. From the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we find an interesting thing about the way in which we are made. Okay, in Genesis chapter 1, and I just want to draw your attention to a few things. In verse 2, the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Okay, so that's a reassuring truth right there, that when God says that there shall be something, that there shall be something. Okay, but in the verses after that, in verse 4, after God acknowledged that there was a need for light and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, God saw the light, that it was good. Okay. So God assessed his creation, and there was not light, and he said, Brother Michael, "Let there be light," and there was light, and he saw the light, and he said, "This is good." Okay. Similarly, in verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And then, in the next verse, it says, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good." In verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." And in the next verse, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." You start to see a theme that God takes an assessment of things, and then when there needs to be something, God speaks the thing, and it is the thing, and then God sees the thing, and then he says, "It is good." Okay. In verse 15, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so." In verse 18 it says, "And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." In verse 21 it says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 24, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And in the next verse, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. By the time we get to the end of Genesis chapter 1, and this is, if you've ever read your Bible through, you made it at least through Genesis chapter 1. How many times have you read Genesis 1:1? Plenty. How many times did you make it all the way through chapter 1? Plenty. Nobody ever said, I'm going to read the Bible through in 1 year and didn't at least make it through Genesis chapter 1. Okay? And what we see in Genesis chapter 1, six verses I've already read with you in your hearing, he saw a lack of something. He fulfilled that need. It was so. And then he said, it is good. Okay? By the end of Genesis chapter 1, in verse 30, it says, to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay? And we know that the seventh day was reserved for God's rest. So at the end of the sixth day, he looked out at everything that he had done, and he said, I saw where there weren't things, and I spoke things, and then those things were, and I said they are good, and yea, very good. And it's upon that declaration that our Father God could say, I am going to take this seventh day and rest from my labor, because everything I have done is very good. Okay? And you may be wondering, why is Brother Mark going through all of that? Okay? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, and there's an interesting construct in the book of Genesis, because we just went through Genesis chapter 1 and it got us all the way through the end of the sixth day. And he's about to rest. Okay? But then we find in the next chapters, it's like going back in and looking deeper at each of these days that the Lord, in which he did what he did. And in after his rest, I want to go back to, verse 15. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good. That's strange, right? Because so far, God has said what he sees is good. But here it says, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. Okay? Now, we realize that by the end of the sixth day, God had made man and woman, right? Because it says back in Genesis chapter 1, well, we won't go back and read in verse 28, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay? So God had completed all creation, including having made Eve by the end of the sixth day. Okay. And then he said, everything is good, yea, very good. Okay. Now that's the finality of looking back on the creation that God had made. And he said, it is good, very good. Okay. But now we're like rolling back the clock to look at that creative work again, like zooming in on parts of it. And we go back to a time before the seventh day. We go back into the sixth day when there was this man, and God looked at that man, and just like God had done elsewhere through the first chapter of Genesis, as he had done in every day when he looked and he saw something lacking, he said, well, we don't have it recorded that he said, but it was not good. And so he changed it and made it good. When he looked out at his world and there was no light, If he left it like that, I don't think he would have said that is good, because he said, let there be light. There was light. And then he said, it is good. Right? All of the things that he created to fill a void that without that void filled, Brother Jimmy, I don't know we could conclude that he would have concluded it is very good. Okay? So what we find out is he created man, and man had a need. And God saw this need. And what we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Okay? And there's no such thing as a help meet. All right, people read through that. He said, I will make him an help. Okay? And that help will be meet for him. And that help was Eve. Right? And Eve was meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Okay? So of all the living creatures, of all of the co-inhabitants of the earth that Adam had, he looked and you would have to say it was still not good, right? Even though he had all these animals around him, he was still alone. That's kind of strange, right? I was in the biggest zoo ever, right? And he was alone. I don't know that I'd want to be alone in a zoo. Like at night, all alone, it's me and all the animals. I don't know that I would enjoy that, right? But he was surrounded by life, but he was still, in some very important way, alone. And even though there were all these animals around him, what it said is, there was not found an help that was meat for him. Now, there were animals that were meat for him, but there was not one that was found that was a help that was meat, meet, that was fit for him, that was designed to be his help. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And this is what God does when he sees something that's not good. Does he say, I wish I could make it better? No, he said, boom, right? Let there be light, there's light. There needs to be dry earth, there needs to be wet water, boom. Here I've created all the living things, boom, there they are. But I look and I see a man. And let's just get it all the way down to this word, right? Here's a man who needs help, and you look around and there is none that are fit to be his help. And what would you call this man that is without help? He's helpless, right? And when God saw a helpless man, he said, that's not good, right? It's not good that a man would be helpless. Now, he didn't say, it's not good that a man needs help. Okay? Because he created man that way. He created man with a need for help. And that's okay. It's okay to have the need for help. It's okay to need help. What's not okay is to not have help. Okay? So you see the difference in needing help and having help? Friends, we need help. And if we only needed help and didn't have help, it would be a sad circumstance. Okay. Now, I know in the immediacy of this context, it's talking about a man and his wife, and we can flip that around and it's a woman and her husband, right? Because if he had created a woman, and a woman would have had a need for help, and he would have created a man to help her. He created the man, saw in the man that the man should not be alone. And then he needed an help. And so the Lord saw that there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay? But at that point that God had made man and had made woman, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see how it ends. Okay? To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, M-E-A-T, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now what that means to me is that the circumstance of God providing a help for man was a remedy, just like light was a remedy for darkness. Okay, there was a lack of solid earth, and God had a remedy for that. He spoke there to be a collection of the dry ground. There needed to be water, and so God spoke, and there was water. And every time he saw the lack, he fulfilled the lack, and then he said, it is good. When he saw man was made needing help, but had no help, he said, this is not good. But after he had provided help for man, what was God able to say? This is good, right? It's not a problem that man needs help. It would be a problem that a man that needs help doesn't have help. And so the Lord spoke, and he performed, and now man has help. Okay? That's a natural, practical example in the beginning, right? What we can take from that is that we need help, okay? And that God is the type of creative, powerful God who doesn't see a situation of lack and fold his arms and say, I wish I could fulfill the need. I wish I could fulfill the lack. When he sees what we stand in need of, the Lord, even by his attributes, he's not satisfied with that. He looks at that and says, that's not good. Now, we were a people who needed help. And I can tell you, Adam needed more than just Eve. And Eve needed more than Adam. You need more than your spouse. And your spouse needs more than you. Every child of God has a great need. And if that need weren't fulfilled, it would not be good. But God, having seen your need for help, do you know what he did? He fulfilled the need. And having fulfilled the need, he said, I don't have to remake man where he doesn't need help. I will just be his help. I will be her help. Okay? So, that brings me back to this place where I'm kind of level set that I need help because that's the way I was made. And I have help because God thought that's the way it ought to be. Now, God, in doing what God does, he does it faithfully and he does it sovereignly. Okay? And Brother Kyle, when God saw you and saw that you needed help, he answered his own call. And he said, I will be Brother Kyle's help. I will never leave him nor forsake him. Okay? And you know what the Lord did say about that? It's good. It's very good. Things with Brother Kyle are well because it's good. The last song we sang this morning, it is well with my soul. You know what that song talks about? A lot of things that don't sound like they're very well, right? Like toil and tempest and water and wave. Yet, it is well with my soul, right? That's because God has provided for a great need. And that is, we were created needing help, and God has promised to be that help. And he is so good at it. He is the help right early. So, let's go to the New Testament. Find what it means for us to acknowledge that we need help, and to acknowledge that God is our help. Because I think those two things are very important. Right? We could pretend that we don't need help. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. I have done that. I have projects that manifest that I have done that. Right? There have been things where I needed help and I was too proud. And, you know, pride, regardless of what the world says, pride is never cast in a positive light in the Word of God, not once. Okay? So if we don't ask for help because we're proud or we have self-reliance or we're lifting ourselves up our own bootstraps or whatever, okay, God would say, that's not good. Right? God has never said that pride is good. Pride would be one of those things where God would say, it is not good. Okay? You needing help, God doesn't have a problem with that. Okay? But the fact that you need help and He's promised that He is your help, it's good and very good. And so when we come to a place where we acknowledge that we need help, we're not changing the circumstance, we're acknowledging the circumstance as it is. When I don't acknowledge that, it's just like those children of God who were ignorant of the righteousness of God, and what happened? Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they didn't submit themselves under the righteousness of God, and then they went about to establish their own righteousness. What do you think will happen if I need help, and yet I'm too proud to say it, or I don't get to a place where I acknowledge that I need help? I'm going to try to do it myself, and I'm going to end up needing more help. Right? I'm going to, instead of having one project to do, now I got two projects to do. One is to undo the project I just did. Right? It's probably been the experience of many journeymen, probably electricians, plumbers, that have been called out to a job, and they are there to treat, they're there to solve a solution. Right? Like somebody did this themselves, and the plumber's got to go, oh man, what a mess this is. Right? Might be better for a plumber to pull up and there's water flowing out the front of the house than to find somebody's like tried to be a plumber. There's some work to undo. Right? I suppose maybe if things go poorly with your own homemade electric job, however you find that out, it's not good. Right? So it's important for us to realize that we need help. And sometimes you're on the outside looking in. Have you ever seen someone who needs help at work? Ever see, like, maybe a younger person or a new person to their job, and you're like, oh, this isn't the way you do that. Like, there's better ways, there's easier ways. Maybe even there's a right way, and what's happening here, that's the wrong way. Like, this isn't going to work. And you say, do you need some help? Right? And you know what they might say? No, I got this. And then you kind of have to kindly, diplomatically say, let me help you. Like, please, let me help you. And sometimes they might let you help them, and sometimes they might not. Right? And then you might, Brother Dole, be that person where like, okay, I'm not going to help them, but after they're done, I'm going to have to go fix this. Right? Just imagine how, if God were like us, how frustrated He would be with us. Right? When He sees our need of help, and He knows not only that He can help, but know He's promised to help. And then to see us try to do it on our own, be like, oh, this would be so much easier if you would just admit you need some help and that acknowledge that I'm the one who can help you. There's something that's called, I think, and we'll find it in the Word of God. What do you think it might be if you could come up with one word for a child of God to admit that they need help of God, to tell God, I need your help? What do you think that word would be? What would it be called if Brother Jimmy would just give it a rest already and tell God, yes, I need your help? Well, I think we find the answer in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, in verse 22, it says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You see what that just said? She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. To me, that means that when you say, Lord, help me, you're worshiping God. I don't guess I ever realized that. You know, I want to worship God. Given the opportunity to worship God, I think if I was in my right mind, I would want to worship God. And you know that there are times when I need help, Sister Amy, and I don't ask for help. And if I don't ask for help when I could have asked for help, I'm not worshiping God. And I want to worship God. If you take nothing else from this sermon, maybe just that. Next time you need help, don't feel helpless. Feel hopeful, right? And realize this isn't a moment of defeat. It's an opportunity for you to do what you're created to do, which is to worship God. And you know what? When the light started shining, when God said, let there be light, and then the light behaved as it was designed to behave, God said, that's good. And you know, since you were created to worship God, and one of the ways in which you worship God is saying, Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what God probably says, Sister Ruth Ellen, when you say, Lord, help me? Mm-hmm. Even before he says, yes, I'll help you, he may even whisper to himself, this is good. This is good. It's good for a child of God to see that they need help, to be willing to admit that they need help, and to ask the great helper for help. In so doing, we worship God. And here it's equivocated. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What if that woman didn't think she needed help? What if that woman were at home with her daughter grievously vexed with the devil? I can tell you this, the Lord can help even when we don't ask for help. But in this case, he said, thy faith, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Okay. Which tells me that the faculty by which I might acknowledge that I need help and ask help from God, and in so doing, worship him, the faculty that I use to do that is faith. Right? Now, God gave us faith, and he didn't give us faith for it not to be used. He gave us faith because he knew we needed it. You think, Brother Jimmy, if he looked at you and saw that you had no faith whatsoever, he would say, this is good. Mm-hmm. He'd say, without faith, he can't hear me. Without faith, he can't trust me. Without faith, he can't believe me and obey me and follow me. This is not good. And so you know what he did? Just what God always does when he sees in us a great lack. He said, I'm going to born him again. I'm going to born him from the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with his spirit that he is a child of God. And he's going to have faith and he's going to cry, Abba, Father. And he's going to hear and know me. And then the Lord will say, this is good. Right? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, do you know what the Father God said? This is good. Do you know what happens when the Holy Spirit borns a little child of God again? What God says about that? He says, this is good. Because there was something so necessary in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ Jesus that if it hadn't happened, God wouldn't say our situation and our circumstance was good. It would have been a hopeless situation, and God would have said, it's not good. Matter of fact, God looked out from before the foundation of the world, and what did he see? Not good. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. This is not good. And so what did he do? He so loved his people that he gave his only begotten son. And when his son died on the cross, Brother Michael, he could say, now it is good. It is so, and it is good. When the child of God is born of the Spirit, it is so, and it is good. And because it's good with God, it can be well with us. If it weren't good for God, it wouldn't be well with us. But it's well with our soul because it's good with God. And so this woman answered, because she acknowledged something about herself, right? He said, why would I give the bread of the master's table unto the dogs? And she said, I'm no dog. Right? If she had said that, she would have been saying, I don't need help. I'm no dog. Instead, she said, I'm a dog. I'm a dog that needs some help. But you know what she also knew is she's not a stray dog. Stray dog needs help. Okay. But a lap dog gets a different kind of help. Right? Because even when you take a stray dog and you make them a lap dog, doesn't mean that they don't need help. Right? But you know what kind of help a lap dog gets? A scratch behind the ears. Right? A lap dog gets a, that's a good boy. Right? And a lap dog lives where the master lives and eats what the master eats. I'm glad that our cats don't eat what I eat or that I don't have to eat what they eat. Right? But the very crumbs that fall from the master's table. And so to acknowledge that we need help, that's an important thing. To acknowledge that he is our help, that's a great and impressive and needful thing. I want to go to a psalm that the psalmist David laid out for himself and for us that I think expresses this beauty of needing help and looking and seeing that the Lord is our help. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And we're in Psalm 27. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That sounds like a lap dog. It sounds like a dog who seeks for a home. That I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And you know what cry it is that you make when you need mercy? Help me. Help me, Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And do you know why your heart can answer the Lord? Because he's given your heart faith, where you can hear him and where you can answer him. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. The very help that I needed. I was designed, built, and created needing help. Men like to see themselves as really self-sufficient. But how would have Adam fared in that garden if there was no M-E-A-T for him? And not just living flesh, but even the herb of the field was pronounced as meat for him. I think he would have starved to death. That's what I think. The Lord said, here's a man who needs sustenance, and so he created it. And when it comes to what we need from the Lord, here David has said, thou hast been my help. And do you think he is a help meet for us? Do you think he's a reasonable help to you? Do you think it's a good match? Your need and his ability to fulfill your need? You think your need is this big and his ability to help is this big? My need, however big I think it is, I can tell you what, his ability to help me is far greater. Right. more abundantly. It's meat, right? It's appropriate. It can meet my need. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Leave me not, neither forsake me. You know why David could say that? Like, Lord, if you leave me, if you forsake me, I don't think it's going to be very long until I'm going to need help. And you're my help. And I'm going to go from hopeful to helpless. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless. David is saying, I had great need. I had a need for help. And I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And you know what just happened there in that psalm? Something beautiful when you watch like the intricacy of the language with which the Word of God has been preserved to you. Through most of that psalm, David is talking about himself, right? I had great need. The Lord has been my help and my salvation. There were people who wanted to destroy me, and they fell and they stumbled because the Lord has been such a great help to me. I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, period. And then there's one extra verse, and this verse is not about David. It's about you. And it's to you. David has said everything he said to get to this point, to say, Don, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, that's not a message that's lost on Sister Dawn, because Sister Dawn knows I need to wait on the Lord. There have been times I haven't waited on the Lord. And there have been times I haven't waited on the Lord. And I can tell you, one place you don't want to be is in front of the Lord. Right? We want to be behind the Lord. I want to follow him. Now, there have been times I get out in front of him, and he goes where I go. And I go terribly wrong places. Wouldn't it be better if I were behind him, and I followed him and his leading? Because you know where he leads me? In paths of righteousness, beside the still waters. He's my help. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Which means even Sister Aaron, when I get in front and I think, let's go over here, the Lord could say, not good. Not good to go over there. But he loves you so much that even when you go over there and he's like, I don't want to go over there. No desire to go over there. Except my desire has gone over there. And I made a promise to Amy that I would never leave her nor forsake her. So wherever she goes, I'll go. Right? What a sweet gift that is, right? That the Lord knows how much we need him. That he knows that we need help, and he knows that he is that help. So having seen that, David could say, I've got some words of wisdom for children of God like me. Wait on the Lord. Right. Wait for him to help you. Acknowledge you need his help, ask for his help, and then wait. Yeah, I don't want to wait. All right, then do it yourself and see how it goes. I tell you, you're going to get out in front, and you're going to think you're making progress, but it's going to be stuff that has to be torn down and rebuilt. We'd do better to wait on the Lord. And while we're waiting on him, there's something very reasonable to do. And that is to say, Lord, help me. And however long it takes, fill that time with that prayer. Lord, help me. Because you know when that prayer ends, when you quit praying, Lord, help me? When he helps you. And then you're like, Lord, thank you for helping me. And then we move on, and then we find ourselves in need of help again. Let's close in Hebrews chapter 4. Right at the end of Hebrews chapter 4, we've got beautiful language about the kind of Savior that we have and the kind of high priest that we have. And the qualification that we have of this high priest is not only is he a really good high priest, he is uncommonly good. In other words, the way a high priest would be good, that's not the way in which he's good. He's good in an altogether better way. That is, a high priest might try to hear you and understand you and help you, but this high priest is touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, says, seeing then, and you know what God does when he sees good? He says, it is good. You know what we should do when we see good? We should say, it is good, right? Because God has taught us that. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And you know what our profession should be? It should be in praising God, worshiping God. And we found out this morning, one of the ways that we worship God is saying, Lord, help me. Now, you may not have said this is what you want to do for your profession, right? I want to make my living needing help. But see, that is our life while we live here. Okay? We're going to need help. We're built that way. We are not self-sufficient. We do not have everything that we need in and of ourselves. We need him. And he is there for us. He is our help. Let this be our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. That we might obtain mercy and find grace. And you know what you can do with that mercy that you obtain and that grace that you find? Do you know what you see about that grace and that mercy? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you're in need of help, which is always, God's grace and his mercy are there for you. The reason why? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why did he make that promise? Because he saw that you needed him, that you needed help, and he said, it's not good that Ron be alone. It's not good that Marilyn be alone. I will be a help to them. And I will be an ever-present help. I'll be a right and a sure help. And when we see that, and when we say that, we can say with our Lord in heaven, it is good and very good. God bless you.